Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Hey guys, this is Rob Paulson, and you're listening to the GeekCast Radio Network.
The audience is now deaf.
For the clock to strike three, when it's 3 o'clock, we'll be free.
Then it's adios, Luniversity.
Summertime is coming, finally.
Say goodbye to teachers and books.
See you in September, you snooks.
All summer long, we'll be free. Come on, stupid clock, please strike.
Summer break, I'll see the sights.
I will get a kitty and squeeze him tight.
I shall Funsy Skunk Hunk of my gleams.
Wanna hug that kitty till he screams.
Summer is the time to hang with your best friends.
Our one wish is that the summer never ends.
We have all been waiting patiently.
Welcome to Tooncast. This is episode 285. I'm, of course, TFJ and Mike. We are continuing on with the Tooncast train, and this is the middle of summer, folks. We are in July, and apparently podcasts grow there. Joining me is the superhero lover, Eduardo. Hello, sir.
Hey, thanks for having me back. It's been a while since we've recorded together.
Yeah, last time was either X-Men Season 5 or Spider-Man Season 5? Does Spider-Man have 5 seasons?
Yeah, I think,
Last time it was
either wrapping up Spider-Man or it was talking to Eric and Julia.
I gotta reach out to them again, yeah, because that got screwed up. Anyway, yes, Eduardo is here, so he is returning and making her GCR debut as his lovely wife, his princess, Patricia. Hello, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm here. So, it is the middle of summer still, folks, and I thought, what better way to do a Tooncast episode talking about some sort of cartoon is... Tiny Toon Adventures, How I Spent My Vacation. And this was actually because of a post that Patricia made on Facebook. And I was like, hey, podcast time. Oh, man.
It's all your fault. Yeah.
It's one of my childhood movies that I just had to watch every summer.
Mm-hmm.
At least once.
Yep. Oh, God. It is... 30 years old as of this past March.
Is it really?
Released March 11th, 1992. Yep.
Okay. I feel old. I feel really old.
Yeah. Tiny Toon Adventures, How I Spent My Vacation.
Summertime is here. a 3-month vacation for kids across the nation.
Whatever your location, it's the best time of the year. Visit Acme Acres for a cool time in the sun. Beat the heat, it's our treat, laughs for everyone. We're tiny, we're toony, we're all a little loony. It's Tiny Toon Adventures with some summer fun. Now the video's begun.
Now, I tried to do some research on this, and I've kind of looked into it. I could have sworn 30 years ago when I saw this, it was how I spent my summer vacation, because it begins and ends with them at school. Like, it starts with them waiting for the clock to tick down to the 12 at, you know, 3 p.m., and then once they finally get done with their vacation, they go back, like, summer vacation is over? We're back in school. Like, literally, this is a 79-minute movie that is basically a 3-month summer in 79 minutes. And, yeah, I don't understand why it doesn't have the summer, whatever. It is what it is.
I know why.
Yep.
I know why. They cut out the summer part because it wouldn't fit on the side of the VHS box.
Well, thankfully VHS is gone with the way of the dodo, so. I don't even think Gogo wasn't in this, was he? I don't think he was.
He had a cameo.
He had a cameo.
Yeah, okay, yes. Yeah, he had a cameo, that's right. Yeah.
It was like a brief cameo where he came out of a clock and did the whole cuckoo, cuckoo.
Yep. So what do you all remember before you sat down to watch this again? I mean, how often do you actually watch this, Patricia?
At least once a year.
Yep.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I know that whole thing frontwards and backwards. Just about. I know all the songs. It's even better when you're drunk. Yeah.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. What about you, Eduardo?
Yeah, no. Ever since Trish and I got together, it's a yearly tradition. And I do remember having like a video store close to my house growing up. And this was one of the ones that my little sister Victoria would just rent like constantly.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you know, it's one of those things of, hey, it ended up being a fun thing. So, I mean, first I bonded with my little sister over this, and now I bond with my wife over it. So, you know, it's become a big tradition. And, you know, as soon as I get a chance and he can understand it, I will get my nephews, my little sister's kids into it. So, you know, it'll just become a family thing. Until thousands of years in the future, you know, we'll have the holographic version, and my great 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 grandnephews or, you know, kids will be like watching it. This all started with my ancestor.
I forgot how much they packed into this 79-minute movie. And I say that by, like, I'm not making, like, the pacing of it is fine, but, like, almost all of the characters are here. They each have their own adventures on summer vacation, but, like, yeah, I forgot how much was in this. Because the main thing I remembered, because this is right before we started when I was watching this, first time I had seen it in, I want to say, at least 15 years, because we've never covered this before. We've covered the overall series way back in episode 3 of Tooncast, but we've never actually, this is the first time we're covering this on the show. And like, yeah, it's been about 15 years or so since I'd seen this. And I'm like, the only thing I remember is Hampton and Plucky go on the trip to get to
Happy
whatever
World
their
Land.
Version of
Happy
yes.
World Land. Where the fun doesn't stop at only $80 a pop. Yeah.
Ah, vacation. 3 months of glorious non-constructive downtime. Now, if you ask real nice, Hammy, I'll consider letting you hang out with me.
Gee, that's nice of you, Plucky. But now what'll we do first? The beach? camping? Or shall we simply veg the whole 12 weeks away in front of the boob tube? We're tiny, we're toony, we're all a little. But Plucky, I'm going out of town this summer. Huh? My folks are taking me to Happy World Land. Happy World Land? Not the happiest place in the hemisphere. Go on all the rides till you barf fun for kids of all ages. Happy World Land? Yeah. Gasp and Darule! That's every duckling's dream!
I remember thinking back then, there's no way Disneyland will ever cost $80.
Yeah. Galaxy's Edge begs to differ.
Yep, and of course, nowadays, we're like, I wish it cost
$80. Yeah, really. And they only got in the monorail, like... Even I would have gone to whatever a Happy World Land's version of Epcot was. Like, I mean, come on. Oh,
I know. That is one of the things that frustrated me from the very first time I watched it. Was like, are you kidding me? They only
yeah,
did
I
it.
Would have just, what? You know what?
$80 each and all you did was ride the monorail? Ah, that's like one of my nightmares.
Yeah, no, I would have jumped off that damn monorail into the park proper. I would have just taken a running leap. Because the heck with that, man.
Yeah, no.
Did they even? It kind of makes me wonder. Mm-hmm. Did they actually pay at the gate for the tickets and ride the monorail, or did they just is the monorail just like that transportation system, and then they didn't even get to the gate because.
No, they got to, no, because that's when they're singing. They're singing the $80 a pop. So they paid, and they got on the monorail, and then they got off the monorail. So it's the two parents, it's Hampton's parents, Hampton and Plucky. It's the four of them, because Uncle Stinky just sat in the car, apparently.
No, he went.
Oh, he did go?
Yeah, he goes.
Okay. So $80 a pop times five. It's $400. I don't know what that would be in today's like inflation, but that's $400 just to ride a monorail. You need to go into the park, damn it.
Yeah.
Well, I know in '92 the price to get into Disneyland was about $30. So. And now it's $100 to get in the gate, $110. So figure out what the inflation. If it's $80, then it's today's market that would probably be about $200 a person.
Yeah, probably.
Oh God!
So it's over $1,000. Let's just say it's close to $1,500, $2,000 for five people to go to Happy World Land.
Ugh.
Oh God, money money isn't everything, folks. It really isn't. But yikes! And
here's the world famous Babs Bunny starting her vacation. She has her fabulous beach chair, her state of the art sound system, and her fabulous view of the French Riviera. Ah, how does she do it?
It's a tune thing.
Yeah. No. That always frustrated the heck out of me. I mean, I love the the idea of taking this big cross-country road trip, but if I got to Disney World and had that kind of an experience, I think I would just leave. I would just be like, sorry, guys. I'll find my own way home.
And Plucky is so incensed at the end because he's like, wait, that's it? We didn't do anything.
And then
what they did do, obviously, was the cross-country trip with all the and seriously, how many seasons did they go through watching all those days? Like, literally, the time pass. You see the time pass outside. And I'm like, okay, there's summer, winter, fall, whatever, spring. Like, it took them a year to watch all those slides for, like, however long that trip. Like, oh, wow, that's... Poor Plucky. I've never felt more sorry for Plucky Duck than I do in this movie.
Yeah, tell me about it. Tell me about it. I mean, I think the closest that I've ever gotten to an experience like that is my family did a Disney trip a trip to Disney in 2011 around New Year's because my mom's birthday is December 31st. Let's see. Going to Disney World, the Magic Kingdom, we must have ridden like, I think it was like three attractions total because there were huge crowds, long lines, and, you know, we had to do everything as this big group. That was the first time in the history of all my trips to a Disney park that I have never done the Haunted Mansion. And that is my favorite ride. That is on my must list whenever I go to a Disney park. And so not being able to do it, it's like, ugh, it's still just, ugh.
So yeah, everybody pretty much knows the plot of this, but in case you don't remember what it is, like we've already said, Plucky and Hampton, along with Hampton's parents and Uncle Stinky, go to Happy World Land. Buster and Babs have a squirt gun, or I should say what, because nobody wants to say squirt on a podcast, water pistol fight, and they flood Acme Acres, which then sends them down to the bayou. Not the bayou by you, but the bayou by me. You know, so...
And then, Kyle.
What? Come on, you know that was funny.
File it.
So, they end up at Dinner Theater, which is quite literally Dinner Theater. And meanwhile, Elmira and Furball, apparently she lost Furball. She goes to a nature park with her family, and she terrorizes all the wild animals with her adoration. Fifi, I love this. Fifi LaFoom is love-struck by teen heartthrob Johnny Pugh. Also included in this is Foul Mouth and Shirley the Loon. They all go see Skunkophobia, or Skunknophobia. And Fifi and Johnny, they basically, she gets enraged and everything else, and Foul Mouth disrupts throughout the movie, and I love Foul Mouth. I
That's Rob Paulson, right?
Yep.
That's Rob Paulson.
I love Foul Mouth. I just, dadgum, Shirley, I just wanted a beer. Dadgum boyfriend, dadgummit. Like, oh, God, I love Foul Mouth.
Yeah. The dadgum state trooper. Hey, look, it's the state trooper. Dadgum state trooper. Of course, that also, well, the movie, the movie theater part, of course, has our favorite joke, right, Trish?
Which joke is that?
Flood sound systems.
Oh, yes.
The audience is now deaf.
Yes.
I think there's I want to say there was like a couple of times we went to an actual movie theater, and when they did the sound system thing, we both looked at each other and we were like, the audience is now deaf.
Yep, we have. Yeah. And I don't, I'm just thanking God that I've never been in a movie theater that has a person in there that is like Foul Mouth. Because I would have reacted like everybody else did around him. Yeah.
Which, by the way, I think one of my favorite jokes in that sequence is just how totally, you know, there was at one point where like a crowd shushes Foul Mouth, and just randomly the Grim Reaper is there. It's like, wow. Okay, so you go to a movie theater and the Grim Reaper is just chilling, you know, going to the movies.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, okay, wow, all right, so okay, we're this is where we are. It's like no explanation. He's just there in the crowd.
I really like the movie how it jumps from one story to the other. You know, checking in on all the different characters and what they're going through, and then. They each have their own unique story going on, and I just always loved all of it. I just, you know, there wasn't any of them that it went to that I was just like, oh, why are we watching this part?
I think the only thing that grossed me out then and, you know, 30 years ago and now, And he's not really in. I mean, he's in the movie, but he doesn't really. His uncle Stinky. Like, I get it. Oh, yeah. That's supposed to be funny, but that's just one thing I could do without. And I'm not even gonna like take any points off for that. But the rest of it, yeah, you're right. Like, yeah. It flows so well from the point of the flood, from the point of Plucky, you know, getting to go with Hampton and his family, like. The transitions in this are amazing, and how they got back to school. Because I was watching, I'm like, oh, that's how they did it. And
an actual bottle.
Yeah.
How convenient.
Yes, how convenient. Yep. For me, the opening song and the closing song are my favorites.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
Definitely. Well, I also gotta love the Happy World theme.
Oh yeah,
yeah, and Buster and Babs. Well, when Babs is getting chased by the other possums, and Buster's like
dueling with pianos with the possum kid that looks very much like the kid from Deliverance.
Yep. Which, by the way, that's probably one of those things that I love about Tiny Toons is that, yeah, even watching it when it first came out. You know, watching it like around the time it came out with my little sister, mm-hmm. we had no freaking, like, we did not know anything about Deliverance.
No.
Yeah.
No. We had no clue. We did not know about that. You know, we did not know about the joys of the horror of having a pretty mouth.
Yeah.
But we're just laughing. You know, we're just laughing and we're, you know, we're dancing along to the dueling banjos and, you know.
Yeah. And that's the thing about Tiny Toons overall.
Yep,
it's essentially doing what its predecessor did. You know what? People are like, oh, they're just the Looney Tunes characters as kids. No, they're not. It's not just young Looney Tunes. It's not like young Looney Tunes to me is baby Looney Tunes. That's young Looney Tunes. This Tiny Toon Adventures is not young Looney Tunes. The Looney Tunes characters are there. Yes, Buster is kind. You know, he even says, oh, mentor of my discontent and whatever. You know, so yes, Bugs is his mentor, but they're not related. But from the 1920s, 30s, 40s, and 50s, when all the Looney Tunes were going on, those Looney Tunes cartoons, they were not made, like, certain cartoons, folks, not made for children. These cartoon creators, Mel was the voice, but Chuck Jones and Friz Freleng and especially Bob Clampett. Bob Clampett's cartoons are the strangest out of all of the Looney Tunes directors. But all of these people were making cartoons to make themselves laugh. Same thing with Tom Ruger and the crew of Tiny Toons. Yeah. I mean, you look at the series and, like, I think it's the most likely it's the first episode, but, like, they break the fourth wall with, you know, oh, this is this gag, or like you already mentioned, oh, this is a plot hole.
Yeah.
You know, kind of thing. And that's, they're making it mainly for themselves. And yes, I was, when did Tiny Toons, 90, and this was 92. So 30 years ago, I was between 10 and 12 years old. Yeah, I watched it. And yeah, I got some of the 90s references then as a kid, but some of the other references I didn't get, and that's fine. I got them later as an adult.
Well, like Deliverance. So, well, like Deliverance and like all the talk show hosts in the hotel.
Yep.
Or even Roseanne singing the national anthem.
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, I wonder how many kids nowadays will like see that scene and then just be like, okay, fat lady, you know, like they get more the fat lady sings joke than they do the, what it actually is referring to, but it still works.
It still works. And it's one of those things where, you know, kids today have their own things, like, you know, insert whatever current cartoon is out today. This was for, even though we're now adults, but this was for us and this was whatever, you know, especially with, I remember watching this in 92 and was Roseanne still on the air or was it not on the air?
Yeah, I think it was still on the air.
It was on till 96.
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah. So when I saw that, I was like, hey, isn't she supposed to be, you know, on at night or whatever kind of thing? Because I think I saw this like during the day on VHS or something back then. And yeah, I don't know. This is just fun. This is summer fun with these characters. They each have a very interesting vacation trip, and you know, it's like what we all did back then. We all were so excited for summer as kids, and we wanted to go out and have adventures. And then in the fall, we would all come back to school and tell everybody, you know, the friends we didn't see during the summer, because some of your school friends you never saw in the summer, because, like, you know, like with Hampton and Play, you know, they went off to I'm just going to say Florida, but it isn't Florida, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
What were you going to, say something, Trish?
Yeah. It's just, I remember watching it and thought it was like, how cool is it that Hampton comes home on the last day of school and his parents are waiting for them to leave right on their trip. Like, you know, I always thought that would have been so cool to come home from school on that last day and immediately be going to Disneyland on a trip.
Yeah.
That would be so cool. And then the fact that they just let Hampton bring Plucky with them, you know, like, oh, you just bring your best friend too. And it's like, and oh, you didn't have to check with Plucky's parents either, you know. Plucky's just gone for the whole summer and his parents don't even care. But you know, it's just a fun movie. I know you're not supposed to take it too seriously, but I just thought it, you know, it was just a really fun movie, and I wanted to experience it. I wanted to be in it, you know, because I just thought that it was so much fun. And
Well, yeah, and that's the thing. Looking back at this 30 years later, like I just mentioned about, you know, that whole anticipation of the final day of like 4th, 5th, and 6th grade in elementary school, like you're ready to go out and have your 3-month summer vacation and then come back and tell everybody about it. Like the excitement, and you're right, you know, you come home and some parents, I mean, my mom, I don't remember if we ever did summer vacations, but I remember a couple of times where my mom was like, you know, I'd get home from school. Okay, well, we've got like, mostly it was like, because we're from Massachusetts originally, and we lived up there for X number of years in my young life and whatever. And, you know, okay, it's Patriots Day, so we have a long weekend. Or, okay, it's Columbus Day, we have a long weekend. Let's go up to New Hampshire, or let's go here, let's go there, whatever. You know, but with the summer vacation thing, it's like, okay, we're flying to Florida for like 14 days. I'm like, okay, because that's what people did in the 80s was anyone living up north ended up down south. So, yeah, no, it's just fun. It's just there are little like I said, Uncle Stinky, there are little nitpicky things. But when I watched this today, I was like, okay, I am – like in a time machine and I'm 12 years old, 30 years ago watching this. And I'm just like, yeah, vacation with my best friend and you know, whatever. And same thing with Buster and Babs. I mean, Buster and Babs, it's almost by the end of it, it's almost like a, cause you know, Buster and Babs Bunny, no relation. It's almost like they went on their own romantic trip. It's like they went down to the bayou to get married or something. Cause by the end of it, you know, he's on his bended knee and she has like hearts swirling around her face. I was just waiting, not that this would work with Tiny Toons, but I was just waiting for Boys to Men to show up.
Oh, and to this day, I can't go through a tunnel without holding my breath.
And I can't go through a tunnel without reaching over and honking the damn horn, no matter who's driving.
Even if it's a tiny tunnel, I still hold my breath through it. It's
Yep.
We have one up here near Tahoe. It's like literally like 10 feet long. And
oh, wow.
We still hold our breath through it.
Well,
I don't think
so far my face hasn't turned purple.
Come on.
Oh, my face has turned purple plenty of times. That's what filters are for nowadays.
I think you and I are talking about different purple instances.
True. Yeah. So this voice cast, I mean, legends. Just and I had never, like, again, back then as kids, we didn't know. We knew we liked the voices. We didn't know who they were. Like, even in, you know, the 80s, like, I didn't know who, like, I knew that in Voltron, Knight Rider, and Transformers, at one point or another, you're going to hear Peter Cullen, but I didn't know that that was Peter Cullen as Carr, Optimus Prime, and Karan from Voltron. But, you know, nowadays with BehindTheVoiceActors.com and with just social media in general, we know all, we quote unquote know all of these people. So Charlie Adler, obviously Buster Bunny. He was also the theater usher. Tress MacNeille. Tress MacNeille is like voice goddess.
Oh yeah,
she can do anything.
I've gotten to the point where I can recognize her in anything that she does. It's like, oh, there she is.
Yep. It's like, wait, was that Tress? Where'd she go? Like, you know. Yeah. The only one that I will say, just looking at this list, the only one I do not recognize is Gail Mathis. She was Shirley the Loon and Sissy Boo. Yeah. I knew Shirley the Loon, obviously, was a character on the show, and I loved her voice, but I never knew. I just assumed it was Tress or Kath Soucy or, you know, Candy Milo, but it's Gail Mathis, and yeah. I had never known who she was. And looking at her, let's see, recurring character, Saturday Night Live, post SNL. So Wikipedia does not have a lot of. Oh
yeah,
she was. Go ahead.
Yeah, I want to say that I was familiar with the name.
Mm-hmm.
Like the name looked familiar, but yeah, she was like an ex SNL. That was like the early 80s SNL, you know. Mm-hmm. So I think I recognized her name, and I knew enough that I recognized her name, but it's like, it's not something where you go, yes, it's her, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, no offense to Gail Mathis, I'm sure she's a lovely lady.
Yeah, no, I mean, yeah absolutely, yeah. You know, and then obviously Kath Soucy as Fifi LaFume and Little Sneezer and all that. And then you get into, I mean, all of these people are great people, but I mean, just names that everyone now, Don Messick, Joe Alaski, man.
The late Don Messick and Joe Alaski.
Yeah. Both. Oh, wow. That's right. Both of them are. Oh,
yeah.
God.
Both are gone.
God, that's now depressing now that I think about it. Both Plucky and.
Damn. Yeah, you're right. It's both Plucky and Hampton.
Yep.
Crud.
And then obviously Frank Welker as Go-Go, Furball, Little Beeper, Byron Bassett.
It was forever before I realized just how old Don Messick was. Because you see Hampton, you think it's a little kid, you know?
Yeah.
You think of him as a little kid, and then you're like, wait a minute, this guy was born in 1926. He's older than my grandma.
Yeah.
No, older than dirt, yeah.
Yeah, Don was 71 when he died, and Joe was 63.
Ugh, crud.
Joe died in 2016. Don died in 97.
Yeah.
I just, like, these are voices that we hear in our head. Like, and Joe would eventually go on to play Daffy in Duck Dodgers, and you have Bob Bergen as Porky in that, and it's just like, holy crap! It was like Duck Dodgers was a Looney Tunes renaissance without Bugs Bunny, you know, kind of thing. Maurice LaMarche, again, voice god, yeah. Man of a thousand voices. Again, Frank Welker, you know,
yep.
Rob Paulson, Cree Summer, Candy Milo. Go ahead, Frank.
Actually, you know what? well, Frank Welker is on my list of people. Because, like, you know, as the celebrities of our childhood get older and start to pass on, Welker is, like, on my list that if there starts to be, like, a bunch of celebrities passing away, he's on my list of somebody go to his house right now and check on him.
Yeah.
Like, if he fell down the stairs, get him to the hospital right now. We are not losing Frank. It's like, no. Him and Mel Brooks. No, not today.
Yeah, he is 76 years old.
Okay,
and he doesn't look it. He doesn't sound it. He even with him just talking in his normal voice, and yes, I know his normal voice is Freddie Jones, but, you know, I mean, whatever he's doing to keep his health up, man, like, seriously, he's amazing.
Keep doing it. Keep doing it.
Exactly.
Keep doing it, Frank. Please. Do us all a favor.
Yeah.
I actually have a great little, great little story about, you know, mm-hmm. recognizing voice actors as it applies to Rob Paulsen. This is actually a recent thing. So, my wife, my beautiful, wonderful wife, she got tickets for the three of us, the two of us plus my brother-in-law. She actually got movie tickets for the 35th anniversary screening of G.I. Joe the movie in theaters.
Okay.
And, you know, we're watching the movie, and they actually, like, both of them were like, wait, is that Rob Paulsen? Like, the first time Snowjob speaks. And they were mm-hmm. like, oh, whoa, it's Rob Paulsen.
Yeah.
So, you know, that great thing of watching something and being like, oh, yeah, there's Rob Paulsen. Oh, yeah, there's Peter Cullen. Oh, yeah, there's... And for me, it's also Michael mm-hmm. Bell, which he wasn't in this. He wasn't in
this. No, he wasn't in this, but, you know, he was in... Yeah. What were you going to say, Trish?
No, it was just that, yeah, since I got together with Eddie, I pay more attention to the voice actors than I used to. And, yeah, all of a sudden I'm starting to recognize all these people, and I'm just like, oh, I know it's because of you, Eddie.
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, Rob is amazing, especially with what he – like – listening to his audiobook is like, oh man, ugh. I'm so glad it was a happy ending with his throat. Like, and nobody knew.
Jeez. Oh,
in an age where everybody knows everything about every single celebrity, nobody really knew, apparently, or supposedly. And you know what? That's fine. Like, I don't, like, we were saying this off air about other things, but I've never been a person that attaches to the celebrity of, like, again, Peter Cullen, voicing Optimus Prime, voicing Carr in Knight Rider, voicing Karan and other characters in Voltron, doing whatever the man does.
Voicing
Predator.
It's the
content. Yeah. It's the content that he does. Like, his personal, like, do I find it absolutely heart-wrenching that Rob Paulsen went through throat cancer? Absolutely. But just because I didn't know about it until he finally told his story doesn't mean that I didn't care about it. And Rob, like, with Foul Mouth and Johnny Pugh and Banjo Possum and all the other characters he does in Tiny Toons, and obviously he would go on to Animaniacs, it's so weird for me to hear. I think he voices Air Raid in Transformers.
Yep.
That's the only role. I don't dislike it, but it's the only role where I'm like, wait, like you said, that moment, wait, that's Rob Paulsen? Why is Rob Paulsen's voice coming out of a robot? What's going on here?
That's not right. Yeah.
And then, you know, you have Cree Summer and Candy Milo, two of the, you know, you think about women in voice acting, obviously most people will put June Foray at the top, respectively, obviously, because of all the stuff June did before she passed. And then, you know, Tara Strong and Harley, the first.
Arlene Sorkin.
Thank you. Arlene, why the hell am I? You know, that, you know, her, and then, you know, Cree Summer, Candy Milo, and there's a bunch of other ones too. But, like, these two women, the fact that, and again, this is what I love. Like, I love that voice actors, like Rob Paulsen, he can put on a voice that isn't his voice. Like with Pinky on Animaniacs, with Cree Summer, she can just have Elmira be her voice kicked up to 11.
Yeah.
You know, and then the opposite of that, Mary Melody is just her regular, normal speaking voice. I love that.
Yep.
Absolutely love that.
Yeah.
And of course, I mean, you know, going, you know, speaking of Cree Summer and Rob Paulsen, I got to love, Rob Paulsen voiced the announcer or whatever at the zoo, you know, the country zoo.
Yep.
You just and I just gotta love. I mean, yeah, the voice. I mean, probably wouldn't fly as much today. You know, because he puts on a little bit of an accent, but I still also have to love just the touch in the script of him going, and let me repeat, so Warner Brothers doesn't get sued.
Yeah. And then, so all of these people are regulars on, like, these are the Tiny Toons voice actors throughout this entire list. The two ultimate guest stars they get are Jonathan Winters as Hampton's dad and you're fucked, Mrs. Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, Edie McClurg as Hampton's mom.
Well, and they also got Boss Hogg himself, Sorrell Brooks. He's the
Big Daddy Boo. Yep.
Yeah. Yep.
Yep.
Yeah.
And by the way, Jonathan Winters is also the voice of Superman.
Yep. That's Rob.
That's right. That was
Maurice, according to this.
Oh, I thought I read somewhere it was Jonathan Winters.
I don't know. According to Wikipedia, it says it was Maurice. Well,
according to IMDb, it was Jonathan Winters as Superman.
Oh, okay. Aww. Well,
I don't know.
Various things can be wrong. So yeah. Very cool. Very cool.
Yeah.
He's apparently retired now. I mean, he's been retired since 2010, but the man, according to I don't know what IMDb has him listed as, but according to Wikipedia, August 29th, 1947, supposedly is his birthday.
For who?
Arthur Burkhart. Nice. Yeah, and let's see. IMDb says January 1st, 1947. Oh, God. I don't even know. Okay, now that's – anyway – so Tiny Toon, go ahead. Just ask him. Well, yeah, absolutely. What? Yep. What other things do we want to say about Vacation?
Well, it's the one. One time that we see the Roadrunner get run over by the coyote.
Chuck Jones is rolling over in his grave 30 years later.
I just remember the first time I watched it when the Roadrunner... This might be blasphemous to some, but I've never cared for the Roadrunner Wile E. Coyote cartoons. I don't know. I always just found the Roadrunner very annoying. So when I saw him get run over by a coyote in a van in this, I was like, yes, finally.
I mean,
I thought it was funny.
To me, it depends on who's when the Chuck Jones Roadrunner stuff, I like, it's okay. It's funny to me. And it's different than every other Looney Tune staple. But yeah, most of the time, you think of any of the Duck Rabbit Duck trilogy, which is Rabbit Fire, Rabbit Seasoning, and there's what's the third one? Anyway, but the trilogy of, you know, Duck Season, Rabbit Season, or Daffy with Robin Hood Daffy or Duck Amuck. Like, there are no Roadrunner cartoons that I can go to. There's no all of those titles I just mentioned, I know those by heart. Yes. I don't even have to look them up. Whereas Roadrunner cartoons, I'm like, I just watch them and have fun watching them because nothing wrong with them, but
they're all interchangeable. It's the same stuff over and over. Yeah. And yeah, so.
Although I do admit I do have a fondness for the Roadrunner Wile E. Coyote stuff, if only just for some of the, I mean, I don't know, for it, for me, it's like, I laugh the same way I laugh at Home Alone, at the finale to Home Alone and watching, you know, Joe Pesci and Daniel Stern just get beaten and mutilated by all the traps, you know, it's that kind of appeal to me.
Yeah, and it's the thing of he's never going to catch him. Like, you take the Roadrunner cartoons and you take the Sam and Ralph cartoons.
Yeah.
Okay, Sam and Ralph, the sheepdog, and the other coyote or wolf or whatever Ralph is or whatever. I like those more than I like the Roadrunner cartoons, but they're essentially the same damn thing.
Yeah.
The Roadrunner cartoons, the coyote's trying to catch him so he can eat him and whatever.
Yeah.
The Sam and Ralph cartoons, Ralph is trying to get the sheep, and they play it like it's a business.
Yeah.
Because at the beginning of the cartoon, they both clock in. It's like the ass crack of dawn. And then when they both clock out, they're like, yeah, see you tomorrow. Like nothing happened.
Yeah.
You know? And that's what's great about cartoons. And that's what's great about some of the tiny, like, I think we've done, and I forget who was on the episode, but I think because I've done this whole changeover thing with Tooncast now.
Yeah.
Where, like, for the first 2 years, because originally, and I've said this before in past episodes, when we started the network in June 1st of 2009, I wanted everything to have a 2-year goal. So, movie we can review, Tooncast, whatever review show, and here it is 2022, almost however long, you know, 14, 15 years later. Like, when I stopped Tooncast in 2011 and started Tooncast Beyond, it was because Tooncast was everything from the past. Tooncast Beyond is everything from, you know, 2000 and now. And now that I have kind of just made it all one big thing, it's like, oh, let's go back. Like, yes, Tooncast Episode 3, where we talked about Tiny Toon Adventures overall as a series, is still there. Let's go back and do the seasons and look at the individual episodes kind of thing. So we've already done Season 1. I forget who I did it with. But I want to go back and do Season 2 and Season 3 because these cartoons are fun, especially now that we're old enough to get a lot of the inside jokes and just have a ball with it. So, yeah. That's my spiel.
Well, also, I mean, we can get more jokes, and we can get more jokes, and then some jokes even evolve. Like, you know, going back to Happy World Land. You know, now yep. We laugh for a different reason,
and cry for another.
Now we have a different reason that we're laughing.
Yeah. Yep,
we laugh through the tears, yes. Trish. We're like. You know, we look at our wallets we look at our wallets and our bank account as they stare up at us and go, when will the pain end, Mommy? When will the pain end?
Never.
Yeah. It's like, sweetie, it's not up to me. It's up to the Faceless Mouse Corporation.
The Faceless Mouse Corporation that may not have a mouse very much longer.
I'm sure.
Because you too could own Mickey in 2024 if his thing goes to public domain.
Yeah, I doubt. I doubt the Mouse House will let that. Come on,
I don't know. I don't know. There's been a lot of questionable things lately. So who knows?
Yeah, we'll
all
see.
All started with a mouse. Hey, I don't think mouse is going anywhere.
Yep. Yep.
Yep.
Anything else
Yeah, this movie will always be one of my favorite childhood movies with lots of good memories attached to it. And I will continue to watch it every year. And it's actually on Hulu streaming if people want to go watch it.
Yep.
And I recommend go watching it just go relive your childhood. And if, you know, your kids, make new memories for your kids. They might not get all the jokes, but you'll enjoy it anyway.
You know what? And they may actually get it, but like in a different context. Like they'll laugh for different reasons.
Yeah, the kids are going to laugh at one thing, and the adults are going to laugh at a completely other thing that the kids aren't going to get.
Yep.
Yep.
So,
and then, you know, we'll laugh at the nod to Deliverance and just, but our laugh will be different. And, you know, hopefully the kids won't try to, look up more about Deliverance and go, Mommy, what does it mean when he says I've got a pretty mouth? It's like, Ask your father.
Ask your father. Oh God, that's so hilarious. So funny. All right, so we are gonna rate this 0 to 5. I assume we're all giving it fives.
Yes.
Yep. Not even a question.
No, because again, it's just pure summertime fun. And like I said, with the bookend of leaving school and returning to school and all the adventures that they had, and again, with all the various voices and characters that they meet and all of that, it's just fun. And everyone should watch Tiny Toon Adventures, How I Spent My Summer Vacation. I don't care what the VHS copy is allowing or not allowing.
VHS, well, here's the thing. VHS is no longer a thing. Just put the word summer back.
I agree.
Yeah, exactly.
Just put it back, man. I mean, or at least, okay. Well, okay. If it can't fit like on the DVD or Blu-ray, the side of the DVD, Blu-ray, or 4K, okay, fine. Fine, but at the very least, when it's on Hulu or it's streaming, put it back. I mean, come on.
Yeah, really. Okay, so those are Eduardo's final thoughts. Trish, what are your final thoughts before we go to a break?
Well, no, I think everyone needs to stop and go right to Hulu and watch it. And then, you know, kids at the very end of the movie when they're singing the song and they say to push rewind and it's summertime again, that's something us old people had to do. We had to rewind the VHS tape and start watching it again from the beginning, which I did on occasion. I would follow that direction. And yeah, sometimes I'd watch the movie a couple times a day. So you know what? It's that good. Go watch it.
Absolutely, folks. We're going to take a quick break. You're going to hear some ads and some other stuff. We're going to close out the show after this.
Come on, Shiloh. Let's take in a dadgum flick.
Not now.
Like science fiction? Of course you do, or you wouldn't be listening to the GeekCast Radio Network. Well, the Marku 42's Universe podcast is an award-winning sci-fi radio show that's been around for over 10 years. We cover everything from Doctor Who to the MCU to pop culture and everything in between. A new show drops on Tuesday mornings on the GCRN website and all of the major podcast platforms. So listen to the Marku 42's Universe podcast from the universe and beyond.
We hope you are enjoying Wild Safari Zoo. May I repeat so that Warner Brothers won't get sued if anyone really does this. Do not get out of the car.
ToyCast is back. We are talking toys once more here on the GeekCast Radio Network's Toy and Action Figure Podcast. From breaking into the display case to our toy topic talk and the brand new Origins in Toy Collections, where we get guests to tell us their toy story of how they got into toy collecting. ToyCast is the only toy podcast you will ever need. Find us on GeekCastRadio.com and any podcatching client you choose to use. Now go forth, transform and transcend your toy collecting today while listening to ToyCast.
Hello, geeks and geekettes! Looking for a podcast that covers a vast array of topics? Then check out Altered Geek Unleashed, where we discuss our thoughts on this week's geeky news, tech, gaming, television shows, movies, cartoons, comics, and more. So, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks, every Friday on the GeekCast Radio Network. Transformers!
You are receiving this transmission from the Rod Pod. Upload pending.
Stand by for soundtrack transfer.
I am Maggie.
And I am John.
And we are trapped, hurtling through space in a ship shaped like Rodimus's head.
The ship, for reasons we haven't been able to determine, contains the entire run of the IDW Transformers Phase 2 comic, which chronicle the events following the end of the war between the Autobots and Decepticons. so we figure we may as well read them all in order and report our findings to you.
Stand by. Stand by.
Upload complete. Now.
The Rod Pod.
Look for us at marriedwcomics.libsyn.com, at iTunes, at Stitcher, or wherever good podcasts can be found.
So, till all are one.
Till all are one.
Till all are one.
Discover a world of vintage and modern toys that's more than meets the eye with the Triple Takeover Toycast.
Hosted by toy writers and photographers Toy Box Soapbox, 6-0, and TF Square One, this informal and chilled out series of discussions cover everything from vintage Transformers to Mask, Diaclone, Microman and more, be it nostalgic or current.
Whether you're a seasoned collector or a casual robot enthusiast, all are welcome.
Triple Takeover Toycast.
Do you like retro cartoons? Then Saturday Morning Rewind is the podcast for you. Join them each month as they talk about classic cartoons and interview legendary voice actors like Jim Cummings.
I am the terror that flaps in the night.
Corey Burton.
Sometimes toys can be so tiny.
Rob Paulson.
Sure, Blaine, but how are we going to find chaps our size?
Nancy Cartwright and many more.
Eat my shorts.
So grab a bowl of Lucky Charms.
They're magically delicious.
Put on your hammer pants. Go to SaturdayMorningRewind.com. And be prepared to feel like a kid again. Once again, that's SaturdayMorningRewind.com. Saturday Morning Rewind was voted best podcast ever by its host, Tim Nidell. So it's got to be good.
Strike my last stereotype.
All right, we are back here on Tooncast. I have no idea what's coming up next. I'm not sure. I have nothing planned just yet. It might be another Origins. These two might be back. I might throw them in the hot seat for the 30 questions all about cartoon watching over their lifetimes.
Oof.
So we might have to do that. Yeah, 30 questions.
Ooh.
All about cartoon watching. So
now, is it 30 a piece, or is it going to be like she gets 15, I get 15?
No, it's you answer, she answers, or, you know, if you want, you know, women to go first, she answers, then you answer. So if I ask you, did you grow up watching cartoons, and what were some of the earliest cartoon memories that you remember? So then she would answer, and then you would answer, because you each have your own stories.
Okay, I think I kind of get what you're getting at.
Yep.
Are you going to, like, us with a water hose if we don't answer? Talk!
No, that's Red Herring's deal.
Gonna break out the water hose, gonna, you know, plug the jumper cables.
Oh god, jumper
maybe
cables.
Maybe do like in Stranger Things 4 and like put the mask over her face and like plug the air hose, you know.
You know, I have never had any interest in watching that show.
Oh,
everybody talks about it, and I just have never had any interest.
It's a good show.
It is what it is. All right, Toonsters, as always, we want to thank you for joining us here on Tooncast. If you'd like to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show, there are several ways to do so. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can listen to and comment on all of our content. Send us email to feedback@geekcastradio.com. Here are all the ways you can listen to us nowadays: Apple and Google Podcasts. Leave us reviews, please. Spotify and any other podcatching client you choose to use. Follow us on Twitter @GCRandToonCast and @ToonCastBeyonder for the show. You can also follow @GeekCastRadio for the network. I am @TFG1Mike. Patricia, what is your Twitter?
Oh, gosh, I have no idea. I have one, but that tells you how much.
I think it's DisneyFreak78.
Oh, it is, yeah. @DisneyFreak1978.
There you go.
There we go.
Eduardo, what kind of white balloon are you playing with today?
Nah, I won't tell you. It'll be a surprise.
Oh, Lord.
But yeah.
What is your Twitter?
Well, my Twitter, it's supposed to be White Balloon King, but because you know, Twitter's all like, that's too many characters. I spell it WHTBLLNKING, all one word. Or if you just look up Eduardo M. Fryer, it should pop up.
Yeah, absolutely. Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/GeekCastRadioNetwork. You can also look for TuneCast, All Tunes All the Time over there, as well as Mark Who42's Universe. So they're on Facebook, they're on Twitter, all that good stuff. You can go over to their website and listen to their stuff. We hope you enjoyed this episode of TuneCast, and we'll show you join us next time. We will be talking about something.
And it'll be tune related.
That's, well, this is a cartoon podcast. Why wouldn't it be?
You know what? I don't know, because sometimes you get like channel subject decay, and it's like, yeah, we're about cartoons, but then all of a sudden it's like, and we're doing Double Dare today, and it's like, that's not a cartoon.
That's what Telecast is for, but Telecast hasn't been active for years now. Anyway, for now, I am TFG and Mike with
Eduardo and Fryer
and Patricia Fryer.
Thank you for listening. Until next time. Oh yeah, and unleash the tune in you.
It's Acme Acres.
Oh, I can see my house.
We're sad, we're confessing that school is back in session. I sure learned my lesson.
I actually had fun.
I'm filled with elation. I'm back from that vacation.
For my next incarnation, I'm coming as a nun.
Welcome back to Acme Woo for a new school year.
Yikes, a test.
I need rest.
I'm living in fear.
Johnny Pugh is a pity. At least I got my kitty.
No more traits. I now look great.
We've been outdone.
Tunnels and car games. Boy, that trip was sheer lame. Here's our pal. What's his name?
Someone call a cop.
You viewers are lucky.
Hey, where the heck is Plucky?
When weather gets mucky, you can take it from the top. When September rolls around, you hear the school bell sound. Never mind, punch rewind, it's summertime again. We're tiny, we're toony, we're all a little loony. It's Tiny Toon Adventures,
and I am the champ.
And now you are just amp.
Kid?
Yes?
Shut up.
Beyond the Night is the GCRN's latest review podcast. We are covering everything in the Knight Rider television universe. From the classic 80s TV series to the 1991 reunion film, Team Knight Rider, and the 2008 relaunch series as well. So join TFG and Mike and Dion the Music Man as they go in-depth in Beyond the Night, only on GeekCast Radio Network. You can find Beyond the Night in iTunes and on www.geekcastradio.com.
Get.
Yes, Michael.
Just keep driving.
Because the world needs another movie podcast.
The GeekCast Radio Network presents for your listening pleasure, The Cinema Geek.
Hosted by Amanda, Kevin, Matt, and Dan.
Each week we dive headfirst in the landscape of movies as we discuss movie news, play movie games,
go in-depth on reviews,
and even have a top 10 countdown or two.
Also, don't miss our director retrospective series, where we review noted directors' movies film by film. Bottom line is, if you love movies and love podcasts, you need to experience The Cinema Geeks.
You can find us on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, or GeekCastRadio.com.
Hello everyone, this is JD from the In Session Film Podcast. Each week we review
the latest from Hollywood, California.
Well, yes, Brendan. We also
give top three lists.
Okay, yeah, thanks again, Brendan. Additionally, you can hear us
talk other movie news, trailers, varying movie series, or other interesting film-related topics, and even rants and raves of the week.
On top of our main show, every Friday,
you can also hear our extra film podcasts.
You can listen to the In Session Film Podcast on
iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, or at InSessionFilm.com. Listen to the In Session Film Podcast every Monday and Friday. Subscribe today and hear me verbally beat JD like a Cherokee drum.
No. That's not how this works, sir.
On the Simplistic Reviews Podcast, we talk movies. We talk TV. We talk.
Hello, Julie, what the heck are you doing?
Trying to make our spot sound more exciting by adding explosions.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you could have got the point across with sound effects, not the real thing.
Download the show on iTunes or at simplisticreviews.blogspot.com.
I'm sure your insurance company will cover that.
No, they won't.
No, they probably won't.
After all, music is the universal language.
His music does have a certain rustic, je ne sais quoi, romantic charm.
If you know what I mean.
Hummer.
Why, Buster Bunny, are you falling for me?
You might say that.
I sure got a lot to learn about cartoons.
Yeah. There'll be plenty of time for that when school starts.
Cuckoo, cuckoo.
If you're late for the first day of school, you're cuckoo.
School's starting already?
Way to go, Huck Finn. We spent our entire vacation downriver. Summer's over.
Yeah, and I can't think of a better way to have spent it, Babs, than with you.
Really?
Absolutely.
But wait, there's more!
Yes, that's right, Dr. Doofenshmirtz. But wait, there's more. Ladies and gentlemen, you've just heard myself, Eduardo, and Trish talk about how I spent my summer vacation, the Tiny Toons movie. And since we did the recording, San Diego Comic-Con has happened, and I cannot release this episode of Tooncast without having us come in here at the very end, at the tail end of the show, to talk about what happened at San Diego Comic-Con 2022.
I thought what happens at San Diego stays at San Diego.
No, that's only when it's in Vegas and they call it Las Vegas whatever.
Oh, okay.
What happens in Vegas stays on your lip. Yeah,
that's probably true, sadly. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is coming from, I'm getting this from Gizmodo, because not that I necessarily trust them, but out of all the people who reported on this, they reported on the whole of the announcement, not just pointing out the disturbing part of it. So, Tiny Toons Luniversity. I kind of heard that this was coming, but I didn't really, like, it was like, oh, it'll be there. And honestly, personally, for me personally, I have seen the first two seasons of Animaniacs, and other than having the voice cast back, I hate the writing. I cannot stand how in your face, and as soon as they did the election episode in season two, I think it was, I was out. I'm like, if Tom Ruger was in charge of that show, things would have been done so much more, not underhanded, but more tactful and more
subtle.
As a joke, more subtle and as a joke instead of like, we need to have a whole election episode. No, you don't. Don't do that. So anyway, Tiny Toons Luniversity, Bugs Bunny Builders, and a Halloween special join new Looney Tunes era. At San Diego Comic-Con 2022, IO9 sat down with creative teams shepherding Warner Brothers' classic Looney Tunes characters into new and reimagined cartoons in a push led by Looney Tunes cartoons Alex Kirwan, who spearheads the franchise's current slate of shorts on HBO Max. The beloved animation icons will soon expand into even more content. There's an upcoming Tiny Toons Luniversity revival, a Halloween special, and Bugs Bunny Builders for kids. So the biggest thing out of the Tiny Toon Luniversity announcement that everybody is making a big deal of, and I'm not trying to make a big deal of it, hence why this is at the very tail end of this episode, sort of. They announced it. The art looks amazing. I cannot wait. I'm most interested to see and hear who they got for Hampton and Plucky, because none of the original cast are returning for this reboot.
Whoa, no Charlie Adler? No Trace McNeil?
Really?
I don't know. I know Tress isn't there because the female voice actor who was Ashley Crystal Hairston, she's the new Babs Bunny, whoever she is. Uh-huh. Never heard of her. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so... yeah, no clue. So, basically, let's see. Hairston says, I grew up in the 90s and I was a huge fan of Tiny Toons, Looney Tunes, but I like all of it, she said before explaining how she found the voice. Just to be playing Babs Bunny is wild to me. So, yeah, she is the new Babs Bunny.
Okay.
I don't know who the new Buster is, and it really doesn't matter to me. You know, it is what it is and whatever. But what does kind of matter to me is kind of seeing who they get for Hampton and Plucky, just because I don't know who they're going to get yet. And I haven't seen any news articles since this one came out on Wednesday. So Yeah, I don't know. But as part of the San Diego Comic-Con reveal, they were revealing part of the story. And Buster and Babs Bunny are now fraternal twins. So they are now related.
That's very...
Don't scream, Eduardo. I'm warning you ahead of time. Do not scream, Eduardo.
No, Buster and Babs, no related. No.
That's some Lannister crap happening there, isn't it? It's like, come on. I mean, we were just talking about how they, you know, have a thing for each other in the movie, and now they're making them fraternal twins, which grosses me out because I actually have a fraternal twin brother. So that's just that makes me want to
erase.
Yes, delete.
Yes, deleted. And look, we're not going to spend too much time on this, folks. This is just a bookend, this latest episode of Tooncast, and then we are going to move on to next week's episode. But I had to put this at the tail end of this because, yikes, oh my god. And look, for me, I care, but I don't really care. It's not the end of the world for me. Is it crazy and weird as all hell? Yes, because of, as we already said, the romantic notions that the best friends... Because look, that's the other thing. You can have a male best friend and a female best friend be best friends with each other and not have any romantic notions towards each other. Obviously, at some point or another, they had romantic notions towards each other in the 90s Tiny Toons animated series. This is a whole new thing for a whole new generation. And I don't know. It might make things more Berenstain-ish. I don't know.
I guess. Or, you know, I mean, hey, I guess it'll open up to, you know, open up avenues to give both of them their own, you know, love interests and, you know, open up some new characters.
Yeah, I guess.
Well, that's about the only thing I can think of, you know, that somebody's there like, oh, you know, we need to introduce some new characters. Hey, why don't we just make these guys fraternal twins and, you know, we can give them some love interests and, you know. Then you also,
but that's the other thing, like Elmira's, like I already know because Kree said it herself, yeah. Elmira's not coming back. Just like in Animaniacs that Minerva didn't come back and other characters didn't come back.
I thought that Elmira's non-return was debunked. That she
really
is
really was it? I
could swear I thought
know.
I saw something.
We'd have to look it up and I'll fix it in the next episode, yeah. But it's just one of those things where the latest that I have known about it is that Elmira is not going to be in the show.
Oh gosh.
I guess PETA, you know, PETA was kind of like, hey, maybe we should skip the one who like kills with kindness, you know.
I mean, here's the thing. I've been going back through Vacation and the other seasons, and I'm like, wow, yeah, she's a little obsessed. And for the 90s, it was fine because it was a stereotype and it was this and it was that and whatever. But I don't know. I don't know. It is what it is. So that's going to do it for us here on episode 285. Join us next week, which we will be doing right now here in a moment. But join us next week for episode 286, where these two will be back, and I will be putting them each in the cartoon hot seat. And like I said already, unleash the tune in you.
There's not really any more. That's about it.
Got a motor.
Beyond good, beyond evil, beyond your wildest imagination.